place in a long true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Hey, he'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome to the Constitution Study. Glad you could join me today. And I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were living in a nightmare and all you wanted to do was wake up? Or maybe you thought you were living in some dystopian movie, you know, like The Hunger Games or something like that. And it's like, where's the exit button? Where do we get done with this? Well, there's a nightmare in America, and it just keeps on giving and giving and giving. Now, some of you out there might be thinking, oh, yeah, well, we're talking COVID. COVID is that nightmare that keeps on giving, except it's not COVID that's the nightmare. COVID did not do this to us. COVID is a fairly contagious disease with, except for certain demographics, an extremely low morbidity rate. No, what did this to us is us and the people we have hired to represent us in government. I don't let the American people off the hook. We have done this to ourselves, first by hiring petty tyrants that took this opportunity to assume power and control more and more of America, and second, by letting them get away with it. So I wanted to take some time today and look at this nightmare that just keeps on giving and giving and giving, and then ask the question, how do we wake up? I mean, I'm sure you all remember 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? When this was first starting and we didn't know as much about COVID, nearly as much as we do now, the answer, the request was to the American people, give us 2 weeks to make sure we don't overwhelm the medical industry, to make sure we don't overwhelm the hospitals, and then we can get on with life. How long ago was that? 15 months? 16 months? In some parts of the country, even the promise of that the end is near isn't really trusted because we've been told that over and over and over again. But the nightmare isn't simply, you know, the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. This isn't the mass mandates. Now it's moved on in the next phase, which are the vaccinations and the information that we're learning about what people knew and when they knew about COVID-19. So let's start out with the vaccinations. This vaccination frenzy is getting out of control. Well, it's been out of control. It's crazy. It, to me, I'm beyond incredulous. Now listen, if you want to get a vaccine, get a vaccine. I have no problem with people who think that the vaccine is the best answer for them. Therefore, they go out and get it. I have none whatsoever. But I have to keep asking the question, if the vaccine is so good, if it's so effective, if it's so wonderful, if it is truly the God's gift to America during this pandemic, why do people have to be bribed to take it? And I've already covered, you know, Ohio and California and Los Angeles and other places. Now we have Joe Biden, and he's got a whole program, a five-part program, to get 70% of adults vaccinated by Independence Day, which to me, that's a little bit of a joke. Let's make people dependent on government for Independence Day. To me, it's crazy. And again, if this is such a good thing, if the vaccine is so wonderful, if it's all that we've been told it is, why do you have to bribe people, cajole them, encourage them to take the vaccine? Now, part one of Biden's plan has to do with access. I mean, obviously the problem is people don't have access. But the problem is, well, you know, what happens, you know, if you've got a child, if you're a single parent, maybe the problem is there's not enough child care for that. So now, free access, free child care, free rides, free shots. Except nothing is free. No, this is just another bribe. We'll pay for your child care. We'll pay to give you a ride. We'll pay for the shot. We will, again, make you dependent on the government for Independence Day. Next, they've got a national vaccine tour to encourage Americans to take the vaccine. So now the federal government's spending your money to encourage you to take the vaccine, whether you want it or not. What is, you know, again, if this vaccine is so good, why do we need this program? Could it be that the American people have seen behind the curtain that the Grand Wizard of Oz is nothing but an old man with some levers and they don't believe him anymore? Could it be after years and years and in some cases decades of being lied to, maybe people just don't trust the government anymore? Part three is a push to get employers across the country to push the vaccine, to actually give small and medium employers tax credits to cover the time off that is necessary when you get the vaccine. Because a lot of people, you know, they don't feel so good for a couple of days after they get the vaccine. So now the federal government is going to pay businesses for the time lost when they get the vaccine. Part four is flat out bribery. I mean, it's just, it's incentives. It's of course, the government says, we'll get the other people to do it for us. For example, Anheuser-Busch is going to offer free beer on Independence Day if the country hits the goal. Now, tell me there isn't some evil alliance between government and big business when you have a major corporation that says, hey, if we hit 70, everybody gets a drink. Get a shot, get a beer. Everyone over 21. To celebrate Independence Day by being dependent on a government to give you a vaccine that the vast majority of the American people don't need. And it's not just that. NBA, NHL, NHL, NASCAR, all of these, Major League Baseball are putting out giveaways if we hit the goal. I'm waiting for the White House to have a giant thermometer out front showing the progress. And as everybody tries to get their free beer or their other goodies, their flat-out bribery. If you don't think you need the vaccine, are you telling me you're going to take the vaccine for a free beer, for a ticket to a track, for a baseball cap? Are you that cheap? American people, are you that cheap? Will you sell your bodies for a free beer or a ticket to a sporting event? Again, if you wanted the vaccine, by all means, go out and get it. But this isn't if you want the vaccine. This is bribery to get the vaccine. Because now it's not only, well, and notice the interesting situation. It's not, we'll give you something if you get the vaccine. They've tried that already and it didn't work so well. Now it's collectivist. If 70% of the country gets the vaccine, everybody gets a goodie. If 77% of adults get their vaccine, you get one and you get, what is this, an Oprah show? You get a car and you get a car and you get a car. You get a beer, you get a beer. Really, are the American people that cheap that you can be purchased, swayed by a few dollars? Apparently, they think you are. And based on the response to what's happening in Ohio and Los Angeles and several other state and several states, you are that cheap. Reminds me of the joke about a man who propositions a woman for $1 million and then admits he doesn't have $1 million. And the woman asks, well, what kind of person you think you are? What kind of person you think I am? He goes, I know what kind of person you are. Now we're haggling over the price. We now, apparently, they know what type of people America is. Americans are made up of people who will do anything for a free goody. What is your price? Los Angeles, you can get gift cards, you can get cash for getting a shot in Los Angeles. They're doing raffles. Really? You will take an experimental vaccine for a chance to win a few bucks. Now, I know Americans are addicted to lotteries. They spend so much money on those stupid scratch cards. By the way, any of you ever look at the back and see what your odds are of actually winning something? But if a state lottery is a tax on people who are bad at math, this isn't a tax. This is flat-out bribery. How cheap are the American people? Can they be bought for a few trinkets? And then what's going to happen if, and God forbid when, we find out there are problems, long-term issues with those who have taken the vaccine? What are we going to do then? Will you sell your independence? Will you sell your ability to decide for yourself for a free beer, a NASCAR ticket, and a chance to win some cash in a lottery? Now, what's interesting is, while some states and the federal government now are doing everything they can to bribe the American people into taking a vaccine they otherwise wouldn't have, or maybe wouldn't take right away, there are now 25 states that either have or will terminate their federal unemployment program. That $300 a week the feds are kicking into unemployment, they're stopping it because they realize something rather obvious to anybody who's actually dealt with human beings. If you pay people not to work, they stop working. So now, again, almost a year and a half after all this nightmare started, we have bribery, and now we have some states are saying, you know what, we don't want that bribery anymore. We're not going to bribe people not to work anymore. We're not going to pay them off for not doing this anymore. We're going to start rolling that back because it's damaging to society. It's actually damaging to the individuals as well. Why? They get free goodies to sit home and, you know, play video games and munch Cheetos. Because that's destructive behavior. Now, again, if you have a true physical reason why you cannot work, that's something else. But to pay an otherwise healthy person to not be productive is destructive, not just to society, it's destructive to that individual. In the short term, it destroys any incentive. Just think of what that person could have done if they actually applied themselves. But then think long term. See, if you put off getting a job, starting a career, you decrease your overall value, the reward you will receive over time. It takes time to get to a position of in any career. You know, I when I first started out, I started in IT. I didn't know very much. I wasn't worth very much. Now, I got a job from someone who was willing to train me. I got another job from someone who was willing to, because he had a need, I had a skill, and I was willing to work cheap. That eventually turned into a career that was quite lucrative. I made a very good living after about 15 years. 10, 15, 20 years. So I wouldn't be able to do what I do today if the first few years of my career, I sat on my butt because I didn't have to work. this destroys the long-term health, the long-term benefits of the people who are accepting. Because let's face it, young people, they don't know anything yet. I mean, come on. We've all met. They think they know everything. They don't know anything. And they look at the short term and say, yeah, I get to stay home, play video games, and eat Cheetos. And they don't think that when they get to be 40, 50, 60 years old, I mean, when they're getting ready to retire, that they have blown the opportunity to retire because their career's not far enough along yet, because they waited too late to start it, because they were home watching video games and eating Cheetos. And by the way, I have nothing against Cheetos. Cheetos are tasty. They're not good for you, but they're tasty. How about another part of this nightmare that just will not end? I talked before about the CDC and their ridiculous, unconstitutional, illegal, immoral, why in heaven's name would anybody listen to them, moratorium on evictions. That's right. The Centers for Disease Control, the illegal, unconstitutional, quasi-governmental agency whose purpose is to help develop disease policy, suddenly decides they're going to get into the rental policy. They're going to get into the rental business. And as I've talked about before, there is zero, absolutely zero legal authority for them to do this. And according to the Supreme Court, that means that action is void because it is a violation of, as Alexander Hamilton put it, it is an act contrary to the commission of the office. There is no legal authority for them to do that. Therefore, it is void. The Supreme Court said so as well, because it is not a power delegated to the federal government. It's a violation of the 10th Amendment. Any congressional act contrary to or repugnant to the Constitution is void. That's the Marbury versus Madison case. Well, guess what? Apparently, some people have finally stood up, and apparently the Alabama Association of Realtors have asked the Supreme Court to issue an emergency order blocking the moratorium while they sue the CDC. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of curious about how the court's going to opine on this, partially because, I've followed this court for a few years. And I fully expect certain members to be more than happy to enforce whatever illegal, unconstitutional actions the federal government wants if they think they've got a good reason to do that. They've said so in their opinions. I have a couple of other justices that I'm curious. I'm not 100% sure how they're going to feel. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens. But imagine we have a group of realtors that is suing because the CDC has done something grossly illegal. I mean, this really shouldn't be close. The court filing says that Congress never gave the CDC the staggering amount of power it now claims. This is true. In fact, the Constitution never gave Congress the authority to create the CDC. Now, whether you think a CDC, a federal disease control agency, is a good thing or not is not the question. We did not authorize it. Remember the Declaration of Independence? That we have certain rights. The governments are created to protect those rights. And the only just powers they exercise are the ones delegated to them by consent of the governed. We did not consent to the federal government setting disease policy. Now, if we want the federal government to develop disease policy, a national disease policy, all we have to do is amend the Constitution to make it happen. But we never did. So this is a double whammy, and from my standpoint. But I'm still curious, what's going to happen? Because I've seen this court over and over and over again put the wishes of the government above the Constitution over and over and over again. So here we are, 14, 16 months after all this nonsense has started, and we start seeing some very interesting things pop up. See, there's this little thing called the Freedom of Information Act. I like freedom of information. Sunshine's the best disinfectant. And in some of the data, guess what? They found that many U.S. health officials, top U.S. health officials, including Lord Fauci, back in January 2020, were scrambling to respond to the lab leak theory. Not simply the pandemic. They were worried about, well, what happens if we allow this information that it is possible that the novel coronavirus came from a lab in Wuhan, China. And remember, people were called xenophobic for calling it the Wuhan virus, the China virus. Oh, people were vilified for mentioning the fact that it appears to have come out of Wuhan, China. But we find that way back January 2020, over a year ago, they found 3,000 pages of emails belonging to Fauci alone, the director of the National Institutes on Allergy and Infectious Diseases. And in those, they found that they were trying everything they could to downplay the possible involvement of the Wuhan lab. Now, why is that important? Well, from a political standpoint, it's a question of, do you want China to like us or not? That's one obvious aspect. But if you don't, from a scientific standpoint, the less information available about how the disease started and how it transmitted means it's harder to deal with the virus at all. If you don't know the escape vector, if you don't know where patient zero is, how do you figure out how it travels? How do you figure out how infectious it is if you ignore its initial infection vector? How? And if it is, if it's natural or man-made, also changes how you go about fighting the disease. So what we find is that way back in January 2020, way back at the beginning, appears that health officials are more worried about China not being mad at us than about actually dealing with what at the time was thought to be a deadly pandemic. I've said since the beginning, this is not a medical crisis, this is a political crisis. And now under the Freedom of Information, we're starting to see how government bureaucrats turned a potentially dangerous problem into a political nightmare, and how they elevated a single bureaucrat. Yes, Fauci is a doctor, but he's been a bureaucrat now, 20, 30 years? How they've turned him into a demigod, where you have people that will do only what Dr. Fauci says. And that's not by accident. More than 3,200 pages from January to June of last year shows the government bureaucrats lifting up Fauci to a position of infallibility. If he says you mask, you mask. If he says don't mask, don't mask. Funny, I don't remember electing Dr. Fauci king of the United States. But you see, that's what happens when you have unelected bureaucrats that are not held accountable by our representatives that we hire to do exactly that. Your freedoms were destroyed based on a lie or an exaggeration. No, I'll be kind. Not a flat-out lie, an exaggeration. Fear-mongering, or fear porn as it's called nowadays. And now the evidence is leaking out just how much this was fabricated, just how much the danger was fabricated, just how much the response was fabricated. Not simply a question of, well, you know, I sort of disagree. No. We see more and more that science had nothing to do with how the pandemic was dealt with in the United States. And I told you a story before about a physician's assistant who has no idea what the CDC data actually is on this disease, questioning the fact that I have a 99% survival rate when I can go to the CDC, and you can go to the CDC and get the exact same data. And what's interesting, there was a report out, you know, back in May, the CDC said, oh, okay, we can lift some of the mask recommendations from most settings, but we still want them some places. And they pointed to some quote-unquote recently released reports. Reports that had been out, some of them had been out for months. And completely ignoring the reports that have been out since last year, showing that masks were ineffective. Why? Well, let's see. The hole in a mask, your average drugstore mask, as Fauci refers to them, is about 1,000 times larger than the size of the virus. Now, if you've ever tried to take a colander and have giant holes in it and pour rice inside, you know what? The rice just slips right out. You didn't need a PhD to know masks are not going to help with the spread of the virus. Okay, maybe if you cough or you sneeze, it takes, as I heard one report, they actually tested this. They said, nope, you don't get a big blob of spit if you sneeze into a mask. You get 1,000 itty-bitty drops, which like to hang in the air and infect people. This is not based on science. This has been a political machination since the beginning. Well, all right, let me rephrase that. The very beginning, we didn't know. The problem is, it didn't take very long. It only took a few days before we took our lack of knowledge, put that into a model, and said, oh, we're all going to die. And then in the anti-science world of scientists today, when the outcome of the model did not match the real world, rather than modifying the model, they simply came up with another excuse to continue these unscientific and illegal actions. When they found that masks did not slow the spread, when they actually found out that masks can be dangerous, there are actually situations where the mask can increase the chance of you getting the virus. They said, well, we have to keep this in place, even though it's anti-science. When virologists are saying the worst thing you can do in a viral pandemic is pack people together, hold them into enclosed rooms, because the virus thrives in those situations. Nope. We got to keep people locked down. Oh, we'll spread them 6 feet apart outside, but we got to keep them locked down in their homes where they can spread the virus. And we're still living with that nightmare today. Now, if I've been talking about COVID, one of the best things I've found from my research, the best things you can do if you're worried about COVID is actually to keep your immune system healthy. And there's lots of ways you can do that. One of them is to a proper diet, good exercise, and supplements. Now, one of the best ways you can get supplements to support your immune system is with Healthy Cells Immune Super Boost. I've been taking it. It's real simple. It's a gel pack. You can do like I do and just take it as a shot. Just shoot it in the morning with my breakfast. You can mix it into a drink or a smoothie. The point is, it's designed specifically to be absorbed readily and to work at the cellular level to increase your immune system's capabilities. That is the best way to deal with COVID. So head over to healthycell.com/outloud and you can get 20% off of your first order by being an America Out Loud listener. Check that out and then join me right after this break.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You know, we're talking about the nightmare that never seems to end. The COVID scaredemic, the fear porn, and the fact that science, which is never settled, has been used as the excuse to put bureaucratic controls in place over the American people. Now, one of the scandals, I've already talked a little bit about this, that has come out of the recent release of documents is the fact there was evidence all the way back in 2020 that this was not a naturally occurring virus. Why is that important? Well, if you're trying to study a disease, if you're trying to find a cure for disease, or at least you're trying to find a vaccine for the disease, as much information you can get is beneficial. Now, I'm not a virologist, and I'm not a genetic engineer, but when I see infectious disease experts that have that emailed, that contacted the infamous Dr. Fauci, and said, we've looked at this, and it potentially looks engineered. They're not saying it is engineered. They're saying it looks engineered. Now, according to the email sent to Dr. Fauci, apparently the unusual features of the virus are pretty small. It's not, you know, there's not a big stamp on it made in China, but they're there. And when you look closely and you see what it looks to be engineered gene sequences, as Christian Anderson wrote back in January 2020, well, then maybe that's an important thing to understand. Again, because if you're trying to deal with a virus, you got to know really how it's made up. But you see, the American people weren't told that. We were told the exact opposite. We were told that even considering, even mentioning that this disease came out of China was xenophobic, that mentioning that it's possible it came out of the Wuhan lab was xenophobic and scaremongering and conspiracy theories. And well, come to find out, we were right. There is evidence way back in January 2020 that this virus was potentially engineered. Which brings up the question, how did it get out in the wild? And then how do you deal with it? What did that engineering do to the virus that may mitigate or enhance certain techniques of dealing with it? Notice, back when people were saying this might have been engineered, oh, you got to shut them up. If you even mention that on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, you'll be banned. We can't let the American people know that there's a possibility. Now, wait a second. If this is the land of the free, if this is a government of the people, by the people, for the people, how do you have the right to keep the people uninformed? Why was this hidden? Because this isn't a medical crisis. This is a political crisis. It's a crisis that has been engineered, I believe sometimes intentionally, to further subjugate the American people, to make them dependent, submissive to government actors. Why? Simple. See, if I can convince you to walk around with a diaper on your face, if I can convince you to stand 6 feet away from people, if I can keep you from going and seeing grandma in the hospital while she's dying, I can pretty much get you to do anything I want. If I can prove that all it takes to get people to take an experimental drug is to offer them some goodies, I can show you, guess what? I have proof that I can control the American people, that they are sheep. They are subjects. They are no longer free citizens. So we have the push for vaccination. President Biden wants 70% of Americans vaccinated. They want them de-independent on Independence Day. But again, another report comes out by researchers, the Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis. And guess what? If you have recovered from a mild case of COVID, you have antibodies. You're immune, possibly for a lifetime. In other words, you don't need a vaccine. If you're already protected by natural antibodies, why do you need a man-made antibody, a man-made virus or a vaccination to give you those antibodies? Now, I've heard lots of theories. Some of them might be a little more conspiracy theory than others. I mean, I'm sure that these medical companies are more than happy to sell the federal government millions and millions and millions of doses of vaccine, whether they need it or not. And again, I'm sure that some in government, without any information at all, without experts who actually are experts, as opposed to experts who are pretending to be so, people who actually are following science, not politics. See, we don't want to hear from them. We want people to do what the government says. See, that's the scary thing. You have a virus that, except for a small demographic, there's a 99% survival rate, 99%+ survival rate. But we've shown the American people, half of the American people, are more than willing to live as subjects to Washington, D.C. and their state houses. That's the nightmare. The nightmare that we're no longer free. And this is not going to be a short-term issue. More and more healthy children and young adults are being vaccinated against a virus they have almost a 0% chance of spreading. They have, if they do get it, they have extremely mild symptoms. Their mortality rate is something on the order of 1 or 2/100 of a percent. And we're giving them an experimental vaccine, a vaccine that has not gone through, has not been approved by the FDA yet. It's under experimental use authorization. Now, let me ask you, if someone were to come up and inject your child with a drug, or force you to have your child injected with a drug, would you not consider that child abuse? I mean, if they were giving, shots of heroin, we'd be up in arms. But because the federal government says, no, heroin's a bad drug, this is a good drug, you should take it. We are experimenting on our children. But you see, that's okay. Because we live in the nightmare America where we are no longer a government of the people. We no longer live with self-government. We are governed, we are ruled by people we elect. We elect our own masters. At least a lot of us live as if we are mastered. I don't. So I have this strange idea that, when someone lies to you over and over and over again, you stop trusting them. Like I said, Mr. Fauci, I'm surprised. I have a hard time even calling him doctor anymore. See, first he said, don't get wear masks, then wear masks, then stay away, then don't stay away. Now, granted, science changes. As we learned more and more about the virus, things changed. The data changed because science is never settled. Anybody who tells you that science is settled is lying to you. They're manipulating you because science is never settled. That's the definition of science. You keep testing and you keep looking to see if you've got it right. But you see, Dr. Fauci didn't say, don't wear a mask. Oh no, the data's changed. Wear a mask. Here's the data. He didn't say, hey, you know what? We've learned now that if you're a healthy person, if you're not old, if you're middle-aged or younger, if you're 50 or younger and you're in decent health, you have almost nothing to worry about from this disease. Yeah, you might be sick for a while, but, you know, we do that every year with the flu. Why do people still listen to this guy? I mean, if this man was Pinocchio, he'd be scratching the moon with his nose. But there are people that still listen to him. And again, the evidence is the evidence is now coming out that he was told a year plus ago about this virus that were not used to change his directive, to change how he told the American people they should live. Back in January 2020, he was told this might be engineered. Back in the first half of 2020, that, you know what, the death rate just isn't what we are expecting. Your models are wrong. That this spread isn't what we expected. Your models are wrong. And then this story came out. I found this story interesting. See, there's a former CDC director by the name of Robert Redfield. And he claims he's received death threats for saying that he suspected that the Wuhan virus originated in a Wuhan laboratory. Now, did he get death threats from the Chinese government? No. Did he get death threats from political anarchists? No. He told Vanity Fair that he got backlash and even death threats from fellow, quote unquote, scientists. That he was threatened and ostracized because he proposed a different hypothesis. He did not follow the orthodoxy. You know, kind of like this guy we know called Galileo, who had the radical idea that the earth revolved around the sun, not the other way around. See, that wasn't orthodoxy in his day. He was vilified. He was ostracized. He was kicked out of the church. And we see the same thing today. Now, modern people say, well, you know, those poor old people, they didn't, in Galileo's time, they didn't know any better. Apparently, neither do we. Because here, we have a doctor, or at least a director of the CDC, claiming that he was attacked by scientists for having a different idea, for proposing another hypothesis, which, by the way, is how science works, right? You propose a hypothesis, you test it, you analyze the results, and then you use that to modify the hypothesis. He said he expected it from politicians. He didn't expect it from scientists, which means, how can I trust a scientist anymore? How can I trust scientists simply because I can't trust them simply because they're scientists. Because now we have, again, more evidence that not just the politicians, but the scientists are unwilling to modify their hypothesis when other data is proposed. Now, I don't know. The people who ostracized Mr. Redfield, did they provide data that challenged his hypothesis? Possible. But what does that say about America when expressing a different idea gets you not only attacked, not only vilified and ostracized, but death threats? How can you hope to find the truth when any deviation from orthodoxy is potentially life-threatening? When you see a disease and you want to test theories because that will help you deal with the spread of the disease, but it's not part of the current orthodoxy, so it must be vilified. It must be crushed. And the heretic must be removed. Now we have, I'm going to take a slight tack here as we close into the ends, because we're finding some other things more at the state level. And I think this is important. For example, the CDC is being sued by the state of Florida because of the CDC's restrictions over the Florida cruise industry. You see, the CDC is trying to bully the Florida. Florida has decided they're not going to do vaccine passports. In fact, they said, listen, if you want to mandate vaccine passports, you can't do business in Florida. Now, that's a whole other question. I've dealt with it in bits and pieces, and who knows, maybe I'll deal with it some more later. But the CDC has put out a mandate that cruise lines require 95% vaccination of passengers. And Florida says there's no reason for that. You have no legal authority to do that. See, the CDC is trying to bully Florida and Alaska, by that way, into compliance. This is the nightmare. It is no longer the representatives elected by the people who are making laws. No. Unelected bureaucrats in the CDC are making laws. They're making laws about rent evictions. They're making laws about passenger or about cruise ships. They're making recommendations that are being treated as laws about wearing masks and getting vaccinated. Do you still feel like you live in a free country? Are we still independent? Or have we just traded one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3 million tyrants 1 mile away? Now, what can we do? Well, one level we can do this is to understand that states are not subject to the federal government. States are the creator of the federal government. And it's important that states start standing up for what is right and what is true. Now, one state that's had a real kickback, apparently a bunch of people identified as members of the Democratic Party put out this video that basically glorified getting stimulus checks, being bought and paid for by the government. Show me your stimmy. And the people of Wisconsin said, no. And now these same Democratic operatives that were so proud of the fact that they were bought and paid for by the government, that they were cheap dates. The people of Wisconsin said, no. We want to be free and independent. We don't want to be subjects. That is not how Americans live. And now those poor Democrats are trying to run away from that video as fast as they can. They're trying to hide from that video. I don't blame them. But the one state that has really done something, at least the first state. Now, again, lots of states have done things. In Tennessee, they lifted mandates. In Florida, they've lifted a lot of the mandates. But in Pennsylvania, now I've had my issues with Pennsylvania, but in Pennsylvania, The people of Pennsylvania have passed a constitutional amendment to limit the governor's power during a pandemic. Remember, the governments exercise the just powers of the consent of the governed. They looked at what the Pennsylvania governor did. They said, no, that's too far. So they passed constitutional amendment, I think two of them, designed to limit the governor's power. Now, for those who listen who are from Pennsylvania, congratulations. If you voted for that amendment, congratulations. If you voted against that amendment, well, I'm sorry, but the people of Pennsylvania have spoken. Your governor is not your dictator. And you have stood up for freedom and liberty. So now I ask the other 49 states, are you prepared to learn from this nightmare? To say, no, we are not going to let governors run wild. They're right now trying to recall the governor of California, in part because of how he acted during this pandemic or shamdemic. What are you doing to learn from this mistake, to learn from this nightmare? See, that's the dirty little secret that everybody seems to forget. The first three words of the Constitution are, we, the people of the United States. The preamble says, we, the people, do ordain and establish this Constitution. Now, we did so through the states. We, the people, created the states. We set boundaries and limitations on the states. Through those states, we created a federal government. If you want to know more, I've got a whole class I teach on that. But it's we, the people. We set the boundaries. It's about time we start holding our elected officials accountable. If your legislator is lying to you, how can you tell when a politician is lying? Well, their lips are moving. What does that say about the American people that vote for people they know are lying to them? What does it say when the American people sit back and let those liars run roughshod over their lives, over their rights? Now, what can you do? Now, we've already talked a bit about, you can get involved with the states and get the states to stand up. That's their job. Another thing you can do is you can join the Knowing Your Rights Tour. This summer, I am teaching classes all over the country, anywhere that people will invite me and I can get there, on how to know what your rights are, when they're violated, and how do we defend and assert them. If you want to find out more, go to constitutionstudy.com/tour, and you'll find some information about the class. You'll find all my dates, all my locations, and if you want me to come to your event, if you want me to come to your city, your town, your neighborhood, there's a form at the bottom. Fill it out, and I'll contact you, and we'll see about making that happen. I've had several people contact me. I've added several dates because of it, and I'm really looking forward to meeting with people in person, shaking their hand, looking them right in the eye, and then helping people know what their rights are and how we can defend our rights, how we can assert our rights, how we can exit from this nightmare of totalitarian governments and once again become the land of the free and the home of the brave. But it's up to us. It's up to we, the people, to do this. We need to stop looking for someone else to wake us up from this nightmare. We need to stop looking for presidents, congressmen, governors, senators. We need to stop looking for someone else. We need to wake ourselves up. And we need to wake our neighbors up. Now, after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin said, "We must all hang together, or assuredly, we will all hang separately." Now, if you have been awakened from the nightmare, or if, as like people say, you've been red-pilled into the truth, then do me a couple of favors. Share that knowledge and support others who are standing up for truth, for justice, for the American way. Because if we don't hang together, assuredly, we will all hang separately. Now, I hope you've liked this program. I hope you're sharing information about this program. I thank my America Out Loud teammates that have been sharing this message and I thank them when they mention this program, but you can help too. So I'm going to ask you to do a couple things for me, all right? One, remember, this program, America Out Loud, it plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen to it on the America Out Loud network. We have apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can listen 24/7. And if you like this program, but you'd miss it live, they usually show up as a podcast a few days later. You can hear them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, or just head to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and look for the Constitution Study and other programs that are there trying to help you know what your rights are, know what the Constitution says, know what freedom and liberty are all about. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to share these programs. And not just my program, me or Malcolm Out Loud or Dr. Carol Swain or Daniel Bronowski. Find these articles, share them, and if you're listening on podcasts, please go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. It helps other people find these programs. It helps spread the word of freedom and liberty to a people right now that desperately, desperately need it.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends every day.